Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Part of my day as we begin the week, as we kick off this week in 2009 in our small businesses. It's good to have you here. You're going to be glad you hung out with me because we got Dr. Sterling Burnett with us, folks. Sterling is a new friend, but his organization is not new to us. The National Center for Policy Analysis, NCPA, is an organization I've been telling you about for a long time. His buddies over there, our buddies, Bob McTeer, Governor Pete DuPont, Terry Neese, et cetera, lots of good folks over there. Sterling is the lead analyst for their E-Team, and we're going to tell us about what that means in a minute, and he's our new friend. Sterling Burnett, welcome to the show.
Good to be on.
It's good to have you here. What's the E-Team?
Well, it's a group of about 25 scholars from around the country, both at other nonprofit institutions and universities that work on different environmental issues. They all have their expertise, and when we want to deal with that issue at the NCPA, we call on them.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to be sort of a jack of all trades, and
so you got coal guys, you got natural gas guys, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you got coal guys, natural gas guys, water quality people, endangered species people. I'm one of the endangered species people. I deal a lot with a variety of energy topics.
Right.
Global warming, of course, is the environment and energy topic du jour.
Well, of course, energy is a big deal right now.
Sure.
And it's going to be a big deal for a long time. It has been for a long time, but now it's getting heated up. The topic is getting heated up, primarily because of the climate change, and I'm going to call them climate change zealots, and I say that, I speak. By the way, Sterling, I speak sarcasm as a second language, but the climate change zealots are the people who have taken climate change to a religion, and I believe they're dangerous, and I believe we can have a conversation about the impact humans have on the environment through the use of energy in a way that serves the planet and serves the marketplace. What do you think?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I've in fact written two articles on how climate change is a religion, and it comes down to how it's not based in science in this sense. Science is based on testable hypotheses put forward to explain behavior. There are no conditions, as far as I can tell, that would disprove this hypothesis. So it's not testable. It's something you have to take on faith. If Moscow is having colder than average winters, it's global warming. If Moscow is having warmer than average winters, it's global warming.
Right.
If it's snowing more in the Midwest, it's global warming. If it's snowing less in the Midwest,
right. Well, if we're having floods or droughts, either way, you know, they
it's global warming,
and that's the reason why when I call them zealots, folks, my point is that they're completely predictable. There is no and when people are like that, Sterling, you can't have an honest debate with them, can you?
No, you can't. And that's the thing. I mean, that's the hallmark of science, is that putting greenhouse gas into the atmosphere may cause it to warm or cool, may cause sea levels to rise or fall, may cause it to rain or have increased drought. But it can't do, if it's going to be science and not religion, it can't do each of those things at the same place,
mm-hmm.
at the same time.
Right.
But if you want to, if you say, well, look, your model says it's supposed to be, you're supposed to have more drought and more arid in the Southwest, but we're getting more rain, they say, oh, no, you're looking at the wrong model.
Right.
This model over here.
So they're moving the goalposts, and that's the reason why it's religion. They take all this on faith, which is okay if you're talking about your faith life, but we're talking about the economy, and the planet now. And the thing that I know one of the things you're here to talk about, Sterling, is the transparency issue. Our government right now is hell bent for leather to get a climate change bill passed, which is basically going to be called cap. It's going to be a cap and trade bill.
Going to be a cap and tax.
Cap and tax is the sarcastic way to say it, and probably the more accurate way. But the cap and trade is the vernacular, and they're trying to get that passed. What do we know about the transparency of that bill?
Well, we know that it wasn't very transparent at all, except to give them credit.
It's passed the House, right?
Some of the extortion and horse trading that was going on happened very publicly because it happened on the floor of the House during the vote for the bill. I've never seen anything like this bill. First off, it's over 1,500 pages now,
right?
Because it was 1,200 pages going into the last night before the vote, and then at 3 a.m. they added 300 new pages to the bill.
So
then it was brought to a vote.
No
one had a chance to read it.
So much for the public being able to read that, right?
Not the public. Not even the people that were supposed to be voting on it.
Yeah.
I mean, at one point, a Democrat who was a solid no vote, who had announced he was not going to vote for this bill, took to the floor and put the chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee on the spot and said, "Mr. Chairman, as you know, I have serious concerns about this bill. In particular, I'm worried about, you know, this provision right here, blah, 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 blah." He says, "I was wondering if in future negotiations over the bill..." Now, the problem is, the bill's not coming up again. They're voting on it that day.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, "In the future, will you work with me?" Oh, yes, in fact, and this is what he said. He says, "We have a placeholder, a blank spot in the bill for you and your committee to work out your language, and we'll just insert it in later."
Hmm.
So it's a blank slate.
We don't
know what's going to be in that provision.
What are we voting on?
And that's what Joe Barton, who was the minority leader on the bill from Texas, I'm proud to say, that's what he said. He says, "This is the first time in my entire time in the House of Representatives that we're actually voting on a bill that we don't have the language of the bill."
But guess what, folks? In case you didn't know it, that bill was voted on that day, and it passed the House.
Passed the House by one vote.
And it's on the way to the Senate. Folks, this is serious. We'll come back. We're going to talk about why it's serious. 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Dr. Sterling Burnett is our guest.
With the old man stranded again, so off I'd ran. A young world.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for joining me there, for hanging out there, for going there and seeing all the things that we have available to help you with your small business, whether it be an article to read or a question to ask or an interview to listen to on any topic under the small business sun. You got 5 seconds. You got 1 minute, 3 minutes, 15 minutes. We got something that you can read or listen to. My blog is there. My knowledge base, AskJim.biz, is there. You can subscribe to my newsletter. Lots and lots of stuff there. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Dr. Sterling Burnett is a fellow at the NCPA, National Center for Policy Analysis. That's ncpa.org, right, Sterling?
That's correct.
And you've heard many of his fellow scholars on the show, Terry Neese, Bob McTears, old friends of ours, and, of course, Governor Pete DuPont, who's the chairman of NCPA. Sterling, we're talking about the transparency issue that's totally lacking. Not that it's ever been all that great in Washington, right? I mean, this is not big news, right?
It's not big news except for two things. First off, this is perhaps one of the least transparent, one of the least visible, most below the radar bills that's ever been passed. For instance,
we're talking about the cap and trade bill, folks, that passed the House. I guess it was last week or the week before.
By one vote,
and it's on the way to the Senate. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, they. Under the rules, there were seven committees that had jurisdiction over this bill. only one committee had hearings and wrote all the language.
Wow.
So that tells you something. The Agriculture Committee had some input because their chairman said, we will not vote for it as a group. The Democratic chairman said, my side will not vote for it as a group, which is enough to sink the bill, if you don't give me what I want.
Right.
And so he negotiated his private terms, which he then told his committee, now you're voting for it. It lost 40. It lost almost 50 Democratic votes. It only gained 8 Republican votes.
There were some Republican defectors. Let me ask you a question, because I want to make sure in the time we have left, we talk about a little bit about the dangers of this bill.
Sure.
The Senate, by the way, which we now know, folks, the Senate has 60 Democrats, with Al Franken from Minnesota being about to be seated. Do you think it's going to pass the Senate?
Not with this current language, no. I mean, it's going to have to change quite a bit, because even with 40 votes, there are enough Democrats in the Senate who are more conservative Democrats, more centrist Democrats,
yeah,
who know that this is going to put people out of work. And let me tell you, even in the bill, they plan, this is the first time I've ever seen them planning obsolescence. They plan on putting people out of work. They say it won't. They say that it won't cost the economy. But they put a provision in the bill that said anyone unemployed by the bill, and the estimates are as many as 3.2 million people could mm-hmm. be put out of work because of this bill. That's mm-hmm. government estimates. Anyone unemployed by the bill gets full unemployment insurance,
what?
Gets full medical,
what?
And gets money to travel for job interviews. Now,
wow.
That's a better deal than anyone on unemployment.
Wow, I want to go get one of those jobs to lose, right?
They're planning on putting people out of work.
But, folks, the bad news is that this bill is going to be a unilateral, it's going to be a bill that unilaterally will make the United States uncompetitive in the global marketplace.
Well,
is that overstating the case, Sterling?
No, it's certainly not. Our jobs will move overseas to
yes.
countries like China and India, and seeing that.
And here's
but
the
this
irony.
Will make it worse, because it'll raise energy prices here. It will make it impossible to do business here with all the regulations.
But
now,
here's the irony,
the federal
Sterling.
Government will control
Sterling,
building standards for the nation.
Stop for a second, Sterling. Here's the irony. The jobs that will go to China from the United States will create products with a much less environmentally sensitive industry than we have here in the United States. And I wrote a piece recently titled, What If the Climate Change Zealots Are Wrong?, and I propose that if cap and trade is imposed on the United States unilaterally, as they're currently trying to get through our government, it will actually hurt the environment.
Oh, there's no question. I wrote about that a few years ago. Because, as you say, the standards in China, the standards in India, I mean, there are basically no standards. And they've already said, you know, they're taking care of their people. They're not taking care of the world. They're taking care of their people. They said, for the purpose of climate change agreements, we're always going to be developing countries, and that means we're not going to make emissions, mandatory emissions reductions. The funny thing is, even our developed world, supposedly developed world trading partners, Europe, Japan, Australia, they're all now backing down.
Well, they've been in Kyoto since 97, 98, and they violated it left and right, and they now know that it's not good business for them.
That's right. Their economy in Europe has been worse than ours for a long time,
yep.
And this has only made it worse. So, you know, Australia, which just signed on to the bill a year and a half ago, has already said we're not going to meet our
But here's the problem.
Commitment.
Here's the problem, Sterling. When we have a bill, our court system will allow other countries, to come to America and take our industries to court to make us comply with the law.
Oh, yeah. Or they'll allow nonprofits here in the U.S.
That's right.
To do the same
That's
thing.
That's exactly right. Folks, this is religion. It's not science, and it certainly is an economy, and it has to be stopped. That's just all there is to it. It will not be good for your small business. Sterling Burnett, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thanks for having me on.
NCPA.org, folks. Check it out when you get a chance. We'll get Sterling back on to give us some more news as this bill progresses through Congress. Quick break. Stay with me. Right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blessingame.
Dream lover, so I don't have to dream alone.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.